This morning we want to continue our study about the love of God. This morning we're going to be dealing with the subject of love's gracious discipline. Many times when people begin to think about the love of God, they have an attitude of disbelief. And their disbelief comes from the fact that as they look at their life and they see what is going on around them, they see that their life is filled with all kinds of difficulties and frustrations and problems, things that they never imagined that they would have to deal with. In other words, the attitude is basically this: if God really loves me, then why is He allowing all these problems to be a part of my life? Why is He allowing all of these heartaches and all of these difficulties to come into my life? But contrary to what some may think, I want you to understand this morning that when God is disciplining us, it is not because He is a cosmic sadist who takes great pleasure and great delight in making our lives miserable and watching us suffer. Rather, it is simply because of the fact there's something God is teaching us. You see, God never abuses His children. He never abuses His children. Rather, He disciplines them, and that discipline is always motivated by His gracious love. And so if you have your Bibles, you'll turn to Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 6, the Bible says this. It says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth." Now, with that scripture in mind, there are four key thoughts that I would like for us to consider together this morning as we consider love's gracious discipline. The first thing I would like us to notice is, number one, the reasons for God's discipline. Reasons for God's discipline. And I believe there are basically three reasons why God allows discipline to come into our lives. And we're going to just mention them very quickly. First of all, sometimes God allows discipline to come into our lives, letter A, to punish us. To punish us. When a child is rebellious or when a child is disobedient, a good parent will understand that punishment is needed to correct the attitudes or to correct the actions. And they administer that punishment in a loving way because they want their child to grow up to be a decent person, a person who is a blessing to society and not a curse. In the very same way as our Heavenly Father, sometimes God punishes us in the very same way when we rebel against Him. When we disobey Him, He allows punishment to come into our life. Letter B, not only does God send chastisement or discipline into our lives to punish us, also, letter B, to protect us. To protect us. You see, sometimes our Heavenly Father sends discipline into our lives not because we have done anything wrong. Listen carefully. Not because we have done anything wrong, but He allows this discipline to come because He wants to protect us from doing something that is wrong, you see. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you remember, had seen an amazing, a glorious revelation. He was actually caught up into the third heaven, into the very throne room of God, and he was allowed to see some amazing, amazing things. But then I want you to notice what he says. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 7, the Apostle Paul said, "And lest be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Again, the Apostle Paul had not done anything wrong. And yet God allowed this discipline to come into his life because God knew that pride would destroy the Apostle Paul's effectiveness as a minister of the gospel. And therefore the Heavenly Father disciplined him by allowing him to suffer with a thorn in the flesh. And even though he prayed 3 times that that thorn might be taken away, God each time, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8, verse 9, each time God's response was exactly the same. He said, no. No. Why? Because my grace is sufficient for you. Sometimes God sends discipline to punish us. Sometimes God sends discipline to protect us. But then notice a third one, and that is this. Sometimes God sends punishment. This is the most often time, and it is to purify us. Most often, God's discipline is to purify us. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 to verse 11, that God sometimes disciplines His children so that they might grow in their relationship with Him, that they might become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ in their attitudes and also in their actions. And so those are the 3 reasons why God sometimes allows discipline to come into our lives. But then I want you to notice Roman numeral 2, and that is the reality of God's discipline. Back in Hebrews chapter 12, and beginning in verse 6 and following, the Bible says this. It says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, ye then are bastards and not sons." 2 key points that we find very clearly stated in these verses. First of all, letter A, there is the presence of God's discipline. The presence of God's discipline. The text makes it very clear that our Heavenly Father will chastise, He will scourge, He will discipline every child who is born into His family through faith in Jesus Christ. And the Bible declares that we are all partakers of this discipline. And the reason is simply because of the fact, no matter who we are and no matter how much we may have grown in our spiritual life, none of us have reached a place of perfection. None of us have reached a place of absolute Christ-likeness. But sadly, the discipline that causes us to question God's love for us is the very thing, it's the very thing we ought to happily recognize as proof positive that we are a child of God. We ought to rejoice in the fact of God's discipline because it gives evidence of our relationship with Him, and it gives proof of the fact that He loves us enough to correct us. He loves us enough to correct us. But then there's the other side of the coin, letter B, and that is the absence of God's discipline. I have seen children, of course none in our church, but I have seen children from time to time and in various places who would be throwing a tantrum. You know what I'm talking about. Fall down on the floor, hollering, screaming, crying, yelling, wanting to have their way. And many times when I have seen that going on, I have to be honest with you, I have thought to myself, if I could have about 5 minutes alone with that kid, I could change his outlook on life. I think I know how to handle that. But of course, I would never do it. I think it, but I would never do it. Why? Well, it's obvious. It's because he's not my child. That's why. He's not my child. And in the very same way, our Heavenly Father does not discipline those who are not His children. He does not deal with them and reprove them and discipline them. And as a result of that, the absence of discipline is actually a tragic evidence of the fact that you've never been born again. You've never been born again. That brings us to letter C, which is the truth about God's discipline. The truth about God's discipline. Notice it in verse number 11. "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. In other words, when God sends chastisement, when God sends scourging, when God sends discipline into our lives, the Bible is very honest with us. It's very upfront. And it tells us very clearly it's not going to be enjoyable. It's not going to be something that is pleasant. It's going to be something that is painful. It's going to be something that hurts. God's discipline in our lives, it's never something that is enjoyed. Oh, this is true. You know this is true. You don't have to be saved very long before you discover that your Heavenly Father allows things to come into your life and they're hurtful things. He allows things to come into your life that are heartbreaking things. And there are two key words that I want you to notice here, and they're so very important. Even though the discipline that God allows to come into our life, it is grievous, it is hurtful, it is painful, yet I want you to notice there are two words that give us absolute hope. And they're found in verse number 11. It says, nevertheless, afterward. Nevertheless, afterward. And that brings us to our next point, which is number 3. The results of God's discipline. The results of God's discipline. 3 things that we find in our text that come after God's discipline. 3 things that we can find in our lives. 3 results that come as a result of God allowing the rod of discipline to be applied to us. First of all, letter A, there is holiness. There is holiness. You remember God called the nation of Israel back in the Old Testament. God called the nation of Israel to be His chosen people. And as His chosen people, there was a standard that the Lord God set for them. That standard is found in Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 44, where the Lord God said this. He said, I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy. For I am holy, neither shall ye defile yourselves. That was God's calling to the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel, before all the nations of the world, they were to be different. They were to be different in the way they acted and in the way that they dressed. They were to be different in the foods that they ate. They were to be different in every way in order that they might show to the nations around them that they were God's chosen people, and that evidence of that would be seen in the holiness of their lives. God called us. God called us to be His child through faith in Jesus Christ. We are now part of the family of God. And we find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 7, that God hath not called us as believers. He has not called us unto uncleanness, but He's called us unto holiness. The Apostle Peter tells us the same thing. Over in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 15, Peter writes, as He which hath called you is holy, talking about God. As He is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. By the way, the word conversation there means not just by what you say. It has the idea of your entire lifestyle. Our entire lifestyle is to be marked with holiness. And therefore, our text declares that our Heavenly Father, because He loves us so much, He graciously sends discipline into our lives. Why? Notice it, Hebrews 12:10, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Please notice, it doesn't just say be partakers of holiness. Did you notice that? It says that we should be partakers of His holiness. In other words, the result of God's discipline is simply that He desires to see His holiness in our lives. Bottom line, that simply means that the purpose of our Heavenly Father's discipline is that you and I might become more and more and more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. His holiness. That's why God sends discipline. That's the result that God desires when He sends discipline into our lives. It is so that He might see in us His holiness, letter B. Not only does holiness come as a result of God's discipline, but there is also righteousness. There is righteousness. The Bible says in Psalm 11, in verse number 7, the psalmist said, "For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness." He is righteous, and He loves righteousness. And that's why God sends discipline into our lives. It is because of the fact that when God's discipline comes into our lives, look at it again, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. In other words, God's discipline makes us to become increasingly dead to sin and the world. God's righteousness, God's discipline that produces a righteousness that we begin to hate the things that God hates. We begin to love the things that God loves. In other words, it makes us to become increasingly alive to that which is right in the sight of our Heavenly Father. And when we do that, then let her see, there is peace. There is peace. It's exactly what the prophet said. The prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 32, verse number 17, the prophet said, "The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever." And that's the very thing that we find mentioned in our text this morning. It's the very same thing we find mentioned, Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 11. We find that God's discipline, notice, it yieldeth the, what kind of fruit? It's the peaceable fruit of righteousness. The peaceable fruit. Peace is the absence of anxiety. Peace is the absence of anxiety, and yet many Christians today are living a life that is totally filled with all kinds of anxiety. They worry, they fret about everything simply because they are not what they ought to be. They are not what they ought to be in their own walk with the Lord. They are basically Christians who are striving to live two lives. I think we call that schizophrenic. They're trying to live two lives. They have their Sunday life, and they have their weekday life. They have their at-home life, and they have their go-to-work life. In other words, they have a life that is filled with double standards, and as a result, they cannot live a life that is truly righteous, and therefore they do not any have the real peace of God in their heart. How should we respond to all this? As we think about the discipline of God, as we think about what it produces in our lives, how should we respond to that? What should the response be? Well, notice number 4, the reaction to God's discipline. The reaction to God's discipline. The wise man, over in the book of Proverbs, he wrote this in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and verse 12. He said, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth." But now we find the Apostle Paul is writing to a group of Christians. He's writing to a group of Christians in this book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. He's writing to a group of believers who had forgotten the exhortation. which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. Now I want you to notice the wording of the text very carefully. It is not that these believers were ignorant of these things. They had just forgotten. They had just forgotten. And have you noticed that sometimes it's possible even for us, and when I say us, I'm talking about myself as well. It's possible for us that sometimes we become so familiar with a passage of Scripture that we actually forget how it applies in our own life. We can take that Scripture and apply it to everybody else, but we never stop to think about how it applies to me personally. How it applies to me personally. How am I to respond to this passage of Scripture? So I want you to notice three things concerning our reaction. Three things concerning our reaction to God's discipline in our lives. There are actually three ways that we can respond. Three ways that we can respond. Letter A, we can basically be indifferent to it. We can be indifferent to it. And that's the idea that we find in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, where the writer says, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. Despise not thou. The word despise there, it comes from a Greek word which basically carries the idea to take it lightly. To esteem it as not being very important. We can despise it. In other words, as we would say today, when we're confronted with the truth of God's Word and what God is trying to do in our life, we can just blow it off. We can blow it off, treat it as something not so serious, but that is not the way we should respond to God's discipline. Because if you do, you will be disciplined again if you are God's child. And so we should never be indifferent when God sends discipline into our life. Not only can we be indifferent to it, but notice letter B, and I think many times this is a very real problem in the lives of many believers, and that is this, we can be intimidated by it. We can be intimidated by it. And that's exactly what we find again in our text in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor, here's the next part, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. The sad fact is when God begins to send discipline into the lives of His children, there are many who will faint. In other words, they become totally overwhelmed by the problems, the difficulties, the situations that are confronting them. They're totally overwhelmed by it, totally intimidated by it. I think David would give us a great example of this. As he was going through times of testing in his own life, God was dealing with David, and I believe he experienced this very thing of being intimidated by all that was happening to him. And it was because of that intimidation that he wrote in Psalm 42, verse 5. Also in verse number 11, chapter 43, verse number 5, you find it word for word. Here's what he said. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? And then he answers his own question. He gives the answer to his own dilemma. Hope thou in God. You see, the point is, David was simply saying, I'm totally overwhelmed. I'm intimidated by all that is going on. But then he quickly acknowledged that his hope is not in the circumstances. His hope is not even in the fact that maybe those circumstances are going to be better tomorrow. No, his hope was simply in his God. His hope was in his God. And because he was confident of God's love for him, that God only wanted what was the very best for him, David was able to overcome. David was able to overcome that natural intimidation that is common to all men when God's discipline begins to be applied in their life. Do not be indifferent to God's discipline. Do not be intimidated by God's discipline. But rather, notice the third point, and that is this. We can be instructed by it. We can be instructed by it. Here in the middle of the text, in Hebrews chapter 12, the Apostle Paul is going to give us an illustration. He's going to give us an illustration that all of us can identify with. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9 and 10, Paul said, "We have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they," talking about our physical fathers who physically corrected us, "they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure." That is, that we would conform to their will. That's why they chastened us, that we might conform to their will. But He, our Heavenly Father, chastens us, notice it, for our profit. For our profit. You know, we're told in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24, that if we love our children, we will discipline them. We will discipline them. Man who says, "Well, I love my child too much to cane them or to discipline them," that man is, it's not right. It's not right. Man who does not discipline his child, the Bible says he doesn't love his child, he hates his child. And here's the reason why. You see, the reason why is simply because it is by the rod of correction, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15, that foolishness is driven out of the heart of a child. And not only that, it's by the rod of correction, Proverbs 29, 15, that wisdom is instilled into the heart of a child. And yet, sadly, many parents today do not discipline their children. Have you noticed it? I see it all the time. Parents don't discipline their children, they just yell at them. They just raise their voice, they yell. Discipline has turned into yelling. And that is a very tragic thing indeed. And yet here's the point I want you to get. Even with the very best of intentions, human parents, we will either under-discipline or we will over-discipline. Or we will discipline with a wrong motive, in a wrong way, and at the wrong time. As a parent, I have to be honest and tell you, there's been times when I disciplined my two boys and then I had to take them aside and say, "Boys, I'm sorry. What I did was not right, and I apologize." And I've asked my boys to forgive me. I've asked my boys to forgive me. See, as humans, we do those things. We make mistakes. But I'm so happy to tell you this morning, we have a Heavenly Father. He never makes those kinds of mistakes. He never makes those kinds of mistakes. He's a perfect Father. A perfect Father who always measures out discipline with the right firmness so that His perfect purpose might be realized in the lives in each and every one of the children whom He loves so dearly. As we bring this to a close, let me ask you a question this morning. The question is simply this: how are you doing in your life? How are you doing in your life? If everything is rosy, if everything is going great, you're not having any problems, you're not having any difficulties, you're just coasting through with a plenty of everything, that is not really something to rejoice in. You may want to check and make sure that you are really a child of God. Because you see, if there is no discipline, you're not His child. You're not His child. Contrary to the teaching of the false gospel that is so prevalent today, that prosperity gospel, contrary to all of that, being a Christian does not mean you will always be happy, that you will always be wealthy, and that you will always have good health. That is not what the Bible promises. Doesn't promise it at all. Rather, the truth of the matter is, a true child of God is going to face times of discipline. There's going to be painful times that are going to come into his life. Not because God is angry with them, but because God loves them so very much. And he will only be satisfied when they have his very best in their life. If you are saved, you know that you've been born again. There's been a time when you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me close by giving to you a twofold promise that we find in Psalm 34, verse 19. You like the first promise, the second promise. Rather, you won't like the first promise, but the second one is wonderful. Here's what it says. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. We don't want to hear that, but it's true. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Whatever you may be facing, rest in the fact that God is bringing you as his child to a better place. He's working in your life to bring you to a better place. And here's the reason why. It's because God loves you. He always has, and he always will.